ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we're continuing our reading from the 8th canto, which is entitled, last time we went over this, all the cantos, what is the title of the 8th canto? Who remembers? The winding up of the cosmic creation. And we're in chapter 12, which is, what is the title of this chapter? Yes, we have to make sure we know where we are, otherwise it's hard to go forward. You have to know where you are so you can know how to get where you want to go. All right, and we're going to start with text 17 and we'll go all the way to text 21. Shri Shuka Vacha Iti Bhruvano Bhagavans Tatraivantaradhiyata Sarvatashcharyang Chakshur Bhava Aste Samomaya. Sri Shuka Vacha Iti Bhruvano Bhagavans Tatraivantaradhiyata Sarvatashcharyang Chakshur Bhava Aste Samhomaya. Sri Shuka Vacha Iti Bhruvano Bhagavans Tatraivantaradhiyata Sarvatashcharyang Chakshur Bhava Aste Sahomaya. Please chant. Shri Shuka Uvacha Iti Bhruvano Bhagavans Tatraivantaradhiyata Sarvatashcharyang Chakshur Bhava Aste Sahomaya. Shri Shuka Uvacha Iti Bhruvano Bhagavans Tatraivantaradhiyata Sarvatashcharyang Chakshur Mava Aste Sahomaya. Vaishnavis, Sri Shuka Uvacha Iti Bhruvano Bhagavans Tatraivantaradhiyata Sarvatashcharyang Chakshur Bhava Aste Sahomaya. Sri Shuka Uvacha Iti Bhruvano Bhagavans Tatraivantaradhiyata Sarvatashcharyang Chakshur Bhava Aste Sahomaya. Sri Shuka Uvacha Iti Bhruvano Bhagavans Tatraivantaradhiyata Sarvatashcharyang Chakshur Bhava Aste Sahomaya. Sri Shuka Uvacha Iti Bhruvano Bhagavans Tatraivantaradhiyata Sarvatash charayang chakshur bhava avaste sahoma. So, synonyms. Sri Shuka Uvacha. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said. So if we don't remember anything else from today's class, we should remember that. Sri Shuka Uvacha, okay? So if I ask you next time, what was the first line? Sri Shuka Uvacha, okay. Iti, thus, Muvanaha, while speaking, Bhagavan, Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tatra, there, eva, immediately, antaradhyata, disappeared from the vision of Lord Shiva and his associates. Sarvataha, everywhere. Charayan, moving. Chakshuhu, the eyes. Bhavaha, Lord Shiva. Aste, remained. Saha Umaya, with his wife Uma. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Shukadeva Goswami continued. After speaking in this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, immediately disappeared, and Lord Shiva remained there with Uma, looking for him all around with moving eyes. Please repeat. Shukadeva Goswami continued. After speaking in this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, immediately disappeared, and Lord Shiva remained there with Uma, looking for him all around with moving eyes. So sometimes people get confused. Here it said the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu. In other places it says Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Sometimes it even says Supreme Personality of Godhead Balaram. So who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? People get confused. But the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the spotless Purana, the ultimate evidence for Vaishnavas, at least in our line, Bhama Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, we refer to the verse, Ete Changsa Kala Pungsa, Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam. So Krishna is the origin of all other forms, Balaram, Vishnu, everybody. Krishna is the origin. So we don't have any confusion. Other people may be confused, but we shouldn't be. So we'll continue. Text 18. Now, last time Mukunda Datta gave class, he made a very cogent point that when the meter changes, you should pay attention. So the meter is changing here. We're going now to a different meter. Tato dadarsho pavane varasriyam vichitta pushparuna pallava drune vikridatim kandukalilayalasad dukulaparyasanitambame kalam. So let's see why has this meter changed. So thereafter, which means the scene is being set further. Thereafter, in a nice forest nearby, full of trees with reddish pink leaves and varieties of flowers, Lord Shiva saw a beautiful woman playing with a ball. Her hips were covered with a shining sari and ornamented with a belt. Now, please take note, who's speaking again? Shukadeva Goswami. He is Naishika Brahmachari. Stayed in the womb with his mother because he didn't want to come out in this world and be contaminated. He stayed in for how many years? 16 years. He came out of the womb of his mother. 12? You're sure of that? Okay. So 12 years. And then he heard Srimad Bhagavatam from his father. Who's his father? Vyasadeva. And so after hearing Bhagavatam, he left home. What was he wearing? Nothing. Completely naked. That's how detached he is from this world. And what was the proof that he was detached? When he left home, he went by a lake where some ladies were bathing, and they were also not wearing anything, but they were not disturbed by his presence. But then when the father came running after him, they covered up. So he actually stopped and asked him, my son went by, you didn't cover up, but I came in. And he said, your son is transcendental, he's beyond this, he's not affected by male, female. But you're a grihastha, which means you have to make distinction. Vyasadeva is also transcendental, but because he's in the grihastha ashram, the point was made that he has to make distinction between man and woman, otherwise how could he have a son? You see? So because he was playing that role of grihastha, the women covered up. You're making a distinction between man and woman. Whereas your son, who's on the transcendental platform, he's not making any such distinction. And how could they tell? He was naked. There was no reaction in the body. They could see that. They weren't just guessing. So the point has to be kept in mind when you hear who's making this description now. He's going to describe the form of Mohini Murti in very intricate detail. But he's not affected by mundane conception of male and female. So we should keep that in mind when we hear his description. So, next verse, 19. Avartano dvartana kampitastana prakrishtaharo rubahar parai pade pade prabhajyamanam iva madhyatashchalat padapravalam nayatim tatastataha. So, because the ball was falling down and bouncing up as she played with it, her breasts trembled. And because of the weight of those breasts and her heavy flower garlands, her waist appeared to be all but breaking at every step as her two soft feet, which were reddish like coral, moved here and there. Okay, again, he's giving a very intricate description of Mohini Murti. Dikshu brahmat kanduka chapalaya brishang podbigdatarayata lola lochanam sakkarna vibrajita kunda lola sat kapolani lala kamanditananam. So he says further, the woman's face was decorated by broad, beautiful, restless eyes, which moved as the ball bounced here and there from her hand. The two brilliant earrings on her ears decorated her shining cheeks like bluish reflections, and the hair scattered on her face made her even more beautiful to see. 21. Shatadkulam kabarim chavichyutam sannayatim vamakarena valguna vidignatim anyakarena kandukam vimohayantim jagat atma mayaya. As she played with the ball, the sari covering her body became loose and her hair scattered. She tried to bind her hair with her beautiful left hand, and at the same time, she played with the ball by striking with her right hand. This was so attractive that the Supreme Lord, by his internal potency, in this way captivated everyone. Now we have a purport. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 14, it is said, Daivyesha Gunamayi Mamamaya Dorateya. The external potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is extremely strong. Indeed, everyone is fully captivated by her activities. Lord Shambhu, Shiva, was not to be captivated by the external potency, but because Lord Vishnu wanted to captivate him also, he exhibited his internal potency to act the way that his external potency acts to captivate ordinary living entities. Lord Vishnu can captivate anyone, even such a strong personality as Lord Shambhu. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Srinivari Paschata Deshtarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastava Gaurabhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, this is an expansion of Lord Vishnu. And as we establish, Krishna is the source of Vishnu and all the other expansions. So, Krishna is even more attractive. We get information of that from the pastime when Krishna disappeared from the Rasalila. And the gopis were searching all over for him. So, Krishna exhibited his forearm form as Vishnu. And they came up to him and very respectfully paid their obeisances. But they wanted to find Krishna. Now you can imagine, Lord Vishnu, four-handed form of Lord Krishna, is extremely attractive. And he here expands himself as Mohini Murti, a beautiful woman, who is also very attractive. But Krishna is even more attractive than that. The gopis paid their obeisances to Lord Vishnu and asked, did you see which way Krishna went? They are not as attracted by Lord Vishnu as they are by Lord Krishna. So we can imagine, Krishna is the topmost manifestation of beauty in the creation. That's Lord Krishna's position. And this is substantiated in the Madhya Lila. What is that? Is that 22 or 23? Life's Ultimate Goal? Where Kaviraj Goswami gives the list of the 64 qualities of Krishna, 50 of which can be exhibited by the jivas, in minute quantity, not the same quantity as the Lord, but 50 of those qualities. 55 can be exhibited by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. 60 by Lord Vishnu, and then 64 only by Krishna. So those last four qualities, nice verse there. Sarvad bhuta chamatkara lila kalola varadi. Atulya madhura prema mandita priyamananam. Chijagan manasakarshi. Morali kala kujita. Asama norva rupa shri. Vishmapita chara achara. So these are the four qualities that only Krishna has. So sarvad bhuta chamatkara. When he comes, he displays an ocean of pastimes that no other incarnation can match. They all have some leela, like Lord Nrsingadeva. When he comes, he has leela. Interacts with Prahlad, with the demigods, and certainly interacts with Hiranyakashipu. But his leelas are not to be compared to Krishna's leela. Any of the other avatars, when they come, their leelas are not on the same level as Krishna. So, sarvad bhuta chamatkara leela kalola varidi. An ocean of leela, of pastimes that the other incarnations cannot match. Then, atulya madhura prema, mandita priyamandalam. And then within those pastimes, he's interacting with the highest level of devotees, the gopis, in such a way that, again, it cannot be compared to any other interaction. Not even like, again, Prahlad Nrsinga does not compare to Gopi Krishna interaction. Then, Trijagan Manasakarshi. Murali Kala Kujita. When he stands in his threefold bending form and plays his Murali, his flute, he attracts the minds of everyone. Sri Jagan, within this three worlds, higher, middle, and lower planetary systems, everyone in his mind becomes attracted by Krishna. That was again exhibited during the Rasa Leela when he was dancing with the gopis. The demigods in the higher planets, they jumped in their airplanes and they came rushing to see Krishna's pastimes. Asama Nurva Rupa Shri Vishmapita Charachara. Sama means almost the same as in English, same, sama, equal. When something is the same, it's equal. So asama means not equal. There's nothing to equal Krishna's beauty, Shri, Rupa, form. Asama Urdva, what to speak of Urdva? Urdva means higher. Nothing can be higher than Krishna's beauty. So asama, anurdva. Urdva means higher, anurdva. Nothing can be higher than Krishna. So anurdva means not equal. So when you put that together, you get asama anurdva, one word. Rupa shri, rupa, form, shri, beauty. Vishmapita chara achara. And therefore, he attracts everyone, even the moving and the non-moving. Again, that was displayed in Vrindavan. When Krishna played his flute, the moving creatures, like the cows, they stopped. They were frozen in their tracks. They just lifted an ear and they just were frozen by Krishna's flute music. And even the rivers came to a complete stop. And those who normally don't move, like the trees, creepers, grass, they were moving in ecstasy. They were shivering. So this is Krishna's effect. So here we see that Lord Shiva, who's also directly attracted to Krishna, as we know, he went to Vrindavan, he wanted to enter into Krishna's pastimes there, but he was not really allowed, so he became guardian in different forms of the Braj Mandala. But here, Papa said earlier that this pastime was done in a joking mood. So we don't have information, at least I haven't found, were they both in on the joke, or was the joke on Lord Shiva? You see the point? In other words, did he in advance agree that this was going to be a joke, or was he actually, a joke was played on him by his desire to see this form of Mohini Murti? But in any case, as the pastime unfolds, we'll see that there's a lesson there for us. Lesson there for us. Now, it's not by accident that Srila Prabhupada refers to 714 here. So I want to jump there because there's some very, very cogent points of his purport to 714 that we can apply to today's understanding today's verse. So everybody should know this verse. If you've been around for a while, Devi Yeshu Gunamayi Mamamaya Duratya Mamevi Patvayate Mayam Etam Tarantite. And Prabhupada translates that this divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. This is the greatest understatement of all times. It's not difficult to overcome. It is impossible to overcome if you don't surrender to Krishna. So when Krishna comes in his original form, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, he makes this point that if you want to get out of here, surrender to me. And Prabhupada says in one lecture that because he's God, he has to order. That's his position. It's God's position to order. So he comes in his original form and he orders, surrender to me. But he's, Prabhupada said in that lecture, we're so foolish, we say, who is this Krishna to order me? Why should I be ordered by like that? We don't want to be ordered to surrender. So he comes again as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and begs us to surrender to Krishna, chases after us. There's that verse, Chaktua Sadusha Surai Pritaraja Lakshmim Dharmishta Arya Vachasa Yada Gada Ranyam Maya Murga Daita Ipsita Anvadava Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravinda. It's explaining, Navayogendra is explaining to Maharaj Nimi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's position. So that third line, Maya Mrigam Dayita Ipsita Anvadava. We are like mriga, animals chasing after illusion, after mirage in the desert. Like the animals, they thirsty to see a mirage of water, and they run after it and they eventually die. So similarly, conditioned souls, they're running after sense gratification, foolishly. Not understanding that you will never be happy by gratifying the senses. It's so obvious when you just calm down and think of it. It's so obvious that this body, no matter how much we try to satisfy the body, it will never satisfy us, the person within the body. And just the opposite. The more you try to satisfy, the more dissatisfied and frustrated you become. Any one of the senses that you try to stuff satisfaction into, I mean, the easy example again is eating. You eat something in the first few bites, but if you keep eating that same thing, it will make you sick. You'll become upset, stomach, you'll just become sick. And any other form of sense gratification, sex life, anything that you chase after in this world, keep doing it and it makes you sick. You get sick of it. Literally. So any intelligent person can see this, but because, generally speaking, the conditioned soul has not been given the alternative, which is Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga, connection with the Supreme, then they keep running after it, even when they know better. Even when they know better, they still, because they don't see any alternative. So those who have been introduced to the alternative, you and I, we have to take it seriously and demonstrate that one can live a very happy life without excess sense gratification. As long as you have senses, there's going to be some gratification. But we gratify the sense of the tongue by eating only Krishna prasadam. And then the tongue becomes satisfied, not only satisfied, but controlled. Sharira abhidya jal jadendra tayakal. We're supposed to recite that prayer before we take prasadam every day. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is reminding us that this material body is an ocean of abhidya jal. It's an ocean of ignorance. There's no knowledge there. It's ignorant. Jadendra tayakal. Jiva paleva shayasagra. And the most ignorant of all the senses and the most difficult to control is the tongue. So you have to take it seriously. Don't give in to the demands of the tongue. Prabhupada said he witnessed so many times, like in Bombay, a businessman will go home, the wife makes nice lunch, dal, chapati, rice, sabji, whatever, he's full. But because he can't control his tongue, as soon as he walks out, there's some tea stall, he goes, he has tea, biscuit, whatever. Doesn't need it, the body doesn't require it, but because he can't control his tongue, he has to have something else to eat, even after having a very satisfying lunch at home. So we should take this seriously. Don't give in to the demands of the tongue. Take what you need, and everybody's body is individual. It's not that because the body is small, they should eat a little bit. We know from Bengalis especially, not to pick on them, but it's a fact. When I first went there in 76, I was amazed at how much these little Bengali people can eat. They sit down to a mound of rice. Literally. You and I, we take one spoon, maybe two spoons of rice. They sit down to a mound of rice. They make a little depression on top. They fill it with dal. And they eat it. And then they cough for more. I was blown away. How can they eat so much? But it's according to the body and according to the work that you do. So Prabhupada said, if you work like a horse, eat like a horse. But if you work like a bird, don't eat like a horse. So according to the body type, metabolism, and according to the work you do, you may eat to your satisfaction until you feel satisfied. But don't ever do it. So we're meant to control the tongue gradually and meditate on the prasadam that you're eating. I remember in Henry Street, we used to, Brigapati can confirm he was there. After the Sunday feast, we would round up all the leftovers. Seriously. Round up all the leftovers from the guests in a big pile, and then we would sit down and meditate and honor the leftovers, because we knew prasadam should not be thrown away in the garbage, should not be disrespected in this way. So one devotee wrote to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, you know, these devotees are doing this. They're eating the leftovers of the guests. And Prabhupada wrote back and said, no, don't do that. Prasadam is transcendental for sure, but you're not. So then we used to round up all the leftovers and take it down to the Bowery and feed it to the bums. The people on Skid Row, the alcoholics. And then we would have Harinam party going on, and then we would feed them this leftovers. And they started throwing it at us. They didn't like it either. Man, what is this, man? Of course, most of them, their tongues are burned out from alcohol, so they can't taste anything, even if it's good. So we're meant to control the senses and not overindulge them. And then we can have some chance of not being affected as Lord Shiva is going to be affected here. Because this is the big attraction, as Prabhupada said on Sunday. Everybody should remember that verse. Pungsak sriya mituna bhaivaita. Tayomato mridane grantamahu. Ata kriyakshetar sutapta vitari janasya mohom ahang mameti. Fifth canto, 5:58. A very important verse to read and understand. That is, attraction between man and woman is the central point of material existence. So we have to take that seriously. We have to take it seriously. Not that we think that, you know, okay, I'm advancing spiritually, I can now relax. No, never relax. Never relax in that regard. And the great acharyas show us that example, that we should not relax in that regard. Mata swatra hitrova navatek shasinobhavet. Balamam indriya gramo bidvangsam apikarshit. That one should not sit in a solitary place with one's mother, sister, or daughter. Why? Because balamam indriya, the senses are so strong, vidvangsam, they can take away the knowledge even of one who is vidvan, one who is very, very advanced. And I told that story several times about one of Vyasadeva's disciples who was sannyasi, who heard him reciting this verse, and he's wondering, Guru Maharaj, why is he talking about this? Not some higher subject matter. And later on, I told the whole story, Vyasadeva bewildered him. Appeared at his ashram in the form of a beautiful woman, and he couldn't get his mind off of her, so he said, I have to have you. And big storm was going on, and so he said, no, we have to get married now, because she said, I can't give myself to you if we're not married. Make a long story short, She said, I'm tired, I have to ride on your back. And then when he finally got to the destination and turned around, it was Vyasadeva. Just to prove that no matter how advanced you think you are, sannyasi, very learned, you have to be very careful in this regard, because we've been here since time immemorial. In this purport, Prabhupada talks about that. And he discusses several very, very important points. No one can trace out the history of his becoming conditioned at a certain date in material history. Consequently, his release from the clutches of material nature is very difficult, even though that material nature is an inferior energy, because material energy is ultimately conducted by the supreme will. See? Even though matter is inferior to the senses, it's stated like that. That this prakriti is inferior to the senses. The senses are superior to the dull matter. Above the senses are the mind, above the mind intelligence, and above all that, the soul. Indriyani Purana Hur, that verse. But even though it's dull matter, lower energy, because it is conducted by the will of the Supreme Lord, we cannot get out of it by our own. No matter how much we think we can figure a way out, you cannot. Because this material energy is conducted by the will of the Supreme Lord. And then, this very, very important line later on, Prabhupada says, although Maya, illusion, is false or temporary, the background of Maya is a supreme magician, the personality of Godhead, who is Maheshwara, the supreme controller. So again, even though you're dealing with dull matter, you know, again, food, ice cream, whatever you like, dull matter, but because it is being conducted by the will of the Supreme, you can be overcome by that dull matter. You can't stop thinking about ice cream. You have to run out and buy a gallon of it and get a bellyache, or you can't stop thinking about sex life, even though we all know we have a material body, a bag of skin with bones, blood, and urine, so many things. But we, again, become attracted to that because we don't have control of our senses. It is being conducted by the supreme will. And therefore, even with knowledge, you can fall down. What to speak of those who have no knowledge of this? They're just blindly running around like animals. So we have to surrender. That is going to be the ultimate point here. Another meaning of guna is rope. We are tightly bound up. And just like if you tie somebody up with rope, rope is dull matter. But if you tie them up, hog-tied hands and arms behind, they cannot untie themselves, even though, again, they're dealing with dull matter. I'm superior to dull matter, but if I'm tied up by dull matter, I can't get out. Somebody has to free me. So, because Prabhupada says, because the bound cannot help the bound, the rescuer must be liberated. So only a liberated soul can free a conditioned soul. Another conditioned soul cannot free a conditioned soul. Very, very important points in this purport. And then, to tie into today's verse, here. Although Brahma and Shiva are greatly elevated and are almost on the level of Vishnu, it is not possible for such incarnations of Rajagun and Tamagun to release the conditioned soul from the clutches of Maya. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva cannot release you from Maya. There are many people that are very proud of being Shaivites. They worship Lord Shiva. He cannot free you from being bound up in this material energy. In other words, both Brahma and Shiva are also under the influence of Maya. Only Vishnu is the master of Maya. Therefore, he alone can give release to the conditioned soul. So we'll stop here. Many points that we can discuss. Yes, Acharya Narottam Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for a wonderful class. You just mentioned now that Lord Shiva cannot deliver the conditioned soul taken back to Godhead. So what about the Shiva Sampradaya? So do the followers of the Shiva Sampradaya, do they go back to Godhead?
What is the goal of all four bona fide Sampradayas? The goal is Vishnu, not Shiva. It's not because it's the Shiva Sampradaya and the goal is Lord Shiva. The goal is Vishnu. So any bona fide Sampradaya can take you back to Godhead because they're attached. Prabhupada also recited that verse, Shukadeva Goswami's prayers. Kirata hunanja pulinda pukasha bir shumba yavanat kasharya. Yene cha papya yada pashayashaya shuddhyanti tasmai prabha vishnave namaha. How is it that the devotees can deliver all of these sinful people that are mentioned? Because they're attached to Lord Vishnu and they're getting the power from him. So all of these bona fide Sampradayas, they're attached to Lord Vishnu and therefore they can deliver you. Not that you're being delivered to Lord Shiva, you're being delivered to Lord Vishnu. Make sense? Something else? Bhrigupati Prabhu.
Thank you for a nice class. I'm sure you were a South Indian Brahmin in your last life.
Hare Krishna.
Because nobody else could say the Sanskrit that quickly.
I'm learning.
But my question is, you know, we hear how Krishna is all attractive. He's more attractive than so many Cupids and like that. But there's a lot of people, especially, you know, Krishna Conscious Movement has been here in the West for 50 years. So many people have seen the deities, seen pictures of Krishna. They don't seem to be attracted. I mean, just how do we understand that?
Because the senses are contaminated. It's just like I mentioned with prasadam. Most ordinary people, you know, you give them a nice samosa, even the leftover samosa, and they're immediately attracted to something nicer. But if your tongue is coated with ignorance, like these guys in the bar we used to give it to, they're drinking not just alcohol, but the cheapest, rottenest, you know, cheapest thing they can find, which is, you know, we call in America rot gut. Maybe the youngsters don't know this phrase, but older devotees know. They refer to this class of alcohol as rot gut alcohol. It is so nasty. So if you drink that kind of stuff all the time, you can't taste anything anymore. You know, so that's why. So people are not attracted immediately. It's because they're so covered in ignorance. Their senses are covered. They can't see properly. They can't hear properly. They can't taste properly. But if you're a little bit ordinary,
in your right mind.
There's this devotee, you know, Devaki Nandan. He was only about 16 when he first was attracted to Krishna consciousness. I was in San Diego at the time. High school, he was still in high school. So his father brought him to the Sunday feast once, and you know, he took off from there, really. And so one day he brought his mother, because his parents were separated. So they brought the mother to see what he was into. And literally, very first time she came to the temple, she walked through the door, she saw Radha Giridhari in San Diego, and she said, "Oh my God, they're so beautiful." You see? That means not so completely covered. One who's just a little bit free, meaning a mode of goodness. Mode of goodness is like dry grass. So just a little contact with Krishna consciousness, and they're immediately attracted. So those who are not attracted means they're very lower modes. Passion, ignorance, covered over. They can't see properly, can't taste, can't hear. Alright, one more and then we'll stop. Anybody, any of the ladies especially, want to have a question?
I got one more if nobody else has.
Anybody want to take the mic from Brigapati?
In the
beginning, yeah, that's what I'm saying. If there's nobody else, then we'll let Brigu have it. Okay.
Okay, in the very beginning of your class, you made the point that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, and you quoted that verse from the Bhagavatam 8.8, Chamsakala Krishna, which indicates that Krishna is the source of all the incarnations, avatari. But Prabhupada does say, you know, you yourself, you know, repeated Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So is it also correct to say that? I mean, is it also
yes, pertinent? Obviously. Because these are plenary expansions. Plenary means complete, but still... Based on that list that I mentioned from, you know, the Majalila, 64 qualities, Krishna has those four qualities that he reserves for himself. Even though the other expansions are plenary, they don't exhibit these four special qualities that Krishna has. Therefore, Krishna is most attractive. Even though, again, Lord Vishnu, why Lord Vishnu? Again, we're attracted even to ordinary people. See? We're attracted as men to ordinary women on this plane of existence. If you saw a woman from the heavenly planets, one of the apsaras, you would, your hair would, your shika would spin. Thousands times more attractive than women on this planet. Thousands. And same thing with the men. If a woman on this planet were to see one of the Gandharvas, men from the higher, your hair would spin. They're so attractive. Then you go beyond that. You go to the spiritual world. The denizens of the spiritual world are thousands and millions of times more attractive than those in the heavenly planets. And then Krishna is even more attractive than them, you see? So attraction goes up and up and up. So Krishna, as the original person, Swayam Bhagavan, he reserves a special attractiveness for himself. Vishnu forms are no undoubtedly attractive. If we were to see any of those Vishnu forms, we would be blown away. Just like when Sankarshan appeared to Prithu Maharaj. He was blown away. Forearm form of the Lord, but he was blown away. He's so attractive. But Krishna is even more attractive than that. You see? Okay, Grantarachim Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai.